program. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Starting this hour off with a little of NFL. I don't know. I just going back to the whole Russell Wilson thing, why he would have certain teams on his list, including the Chicago Bears. That was a head-scratcher to me. Like, if he goes to the Bears, okay, fine. I mean, they're still the second-best team at best in their division. They're probably, you know, a playoff team. But what is that then? They're top five, top six in the NFC. They have to have a lot of things go right to actually, you know, make a deep run. This is from ESPN reporter Jeremy Fowler. The quote that he said on Russell Wilson. Russell's thinking is broader. It's big picture from what I'm told. This is a guy who wants to be in an NFL managerial position in the future, maybe even NFL ownership. So in a case like Chicago, he's not thinking in terms of their struggles on offense recently. He's thinking in terms of turning around a franchise that is historically great but had struggles on offense for the better part of 20 years. He would love that kind of story. Peter, end of quote.
Peter King said, good friends with Jimmy Graham, and Chicago's a great sports town.
And that's absolutely true.
That they love the Bears and how they love the Cubs. And hello, Marky. That's you're right.
I mean, I get that angle, right? And we had that tweet last week from Robert Mays, who I thought it was kind of funny.
Well, yeah, that ties in. Peter King said it, too. What if they had a good quarterback?
No, right. I mean
he could come. He's the savior. I mean, they would go crazy in Chicago if they got Russell Wilson.
They would go absolutely bonkers there. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, right? But if Russell Wilson would get traded to Chicago, he takes one snap. He's the best quarterback in the history of the franchise. On paper. Plays a full season. Again, he's never missed a game since he started as a rookie. Plays a whole season, he's automatically the best quarterback
probably
they've ever had.
Yeah.
And so
again,
I get that where a guy's ego, it would, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And my rule, if it happened before 1977, it didn't happen. Okay. It doesn't count if it happens before 77, the year I was born. So that's, yeah, I would agree with that too, and what they've had to deal with. And my God, what they had with Cutler. I mean, if Cutler's number three on that list or number two on that list, what Mays had, I mean, they crucified Cutler for what he did.
Absolutely.
Like, he won one playoff game. Other tidbits from Peter King. 50-50 will we get a Monday Night Football wild card playoff game.
Interesting.
Last year would have gone up against the college football championship game, so it wasn't happening. But because of the schedule, Peter King wrote today, likely 17-game schedule, no extra bye, 17 games, 18 weeks, don't want to go start on Labor Day weekend, Super Bowl, latest ever, February 13th in Los Angeles.
I'm on board for that.
Monday Night Football wild card playoff game, January 17th. Could have a doubleheader on Christmas, which falls on a Saturday. Minnesota-New Orleans did a monster number this past Christmas, which was on a Friday afternoon. And again, the other juicy tidbit, at least I like from props and other stuff, but he thinks Mac Jones could go at before Trey Lance.
All right, I love the idea of the Super Bowl on February 13th.
Yes.
I hate the idea that we're going to go to a 17-game schedule and not have two byes. Give him a second bye.
Yep.
It makes too much sense not to do it, right? Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll continue talking some NFL. Up next, a guy who has covered the Texans for as long as anybody and Houston sports for basically longer than anybody in that city. He said it's time for the franchise to finally cave.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
North Carolina upset Florida State at home as a 2.5-point home dog on Saturday, 78-70. The Tar Heels today visiting Syracuse, laying two with a total of 149.5 at the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York. The Houston Rockets have dropped 11 consecutive games. They're laying 5.5 against Cleveland today. The Cavaliers have won three straight after a win at Philadelphia on Saturday. Total at Toyota Center, 217.5. In the NHL, the Maple Leafs laying $1.12 at Edmonton, plus 102, 6.5 flat the total. VSiN experts are analyzing all the hoops, hockey, tennis, and soccer action every day to help make you a sharper better. Right now, you can get everything we have to offer, including our upcoming bracket betting guide through the College Hoops Finals for just $50. Invest in your sports betting success today, vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, $250 match bonus, great payouts. Love the menu, love the house specials, one-time playthrough BetRivers. Offer valid Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Not valid in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So what do you think of this news now? Over the weekend, guy who has covered the Texans for as long as they've been in the city of Houston. Yep. He's covered Houston sports for more than 40 years. John McClain, welcome to the party, pal. he wrote that it's time to, acquiesce to Deshaun Watson's demands. He thinks that they're not going to do it, but it's time to actually really think about it and say, we can't keep him anymore.
Yep.
We need to bail on this. We don't want to, but we need to actually have, entertain taking phone calls from other teams across the league.
Well, you have to move, because once you get close to the draft, I mean, if you hold on, then you're really up against it. I mean, if he is supposedly dug in, and if he's like, I'm not going to play for you, and then what happens, you're going to lose you're going to lose the value. It'll go, well, not that. How much? Wait a second. I'll wait till the draft. And then, so it's like the guy doesn't want to be there anymore. You're going to lose leverage.
Sure.
And what you have. But the other thing, he has to help them out a little bit too. I believe he has a no trade clause. Well, he's got a, that's first things first. I mean, that's what Wilson and the Seahawks could be looking at as well. Well, there's only four teams on the list. What if that hurts us a little bit? Open it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then would Wilson play ball if they say, well, we got a great sweetheart deal and offer on the table, but it's not on your four list, then what happens? But Watson's got to play a little bit of ball here too.
Can you see a scenario where they don't trade him? They might not even have a meeting with him face to face at some point anytime soon. And then when we start to get to July and August, he's like a no-show. Sorry, no, you guys never traded me. I'm not showing up. I'm done. I think that's a real possibility. I mean, listening to people who cover the league.
That'd be sad.
Yeah. Oh, that would. He's, 25 years old? That's one of the last things I'd like to see. Guy's an incredible football player. But I think that it might be, not the number one thing as a possibility or on the odds board or whatever, but I think that could happen. If they just dig their, toes into the sand so deep and they're like, sorry, man.
That's ridiculous.
We're not doing it.
Pick up the phone. Return phone calls. Listen to the voicemails. Teams are leaving voicemail trades. Okay, how about this one? Yeah, me again. I mean, can you imagine? You have 74 new messages. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be like Jon Favreau in Swingers.
Yes.
With the scene.
Right, yeah.
One of the most uncomfortable scenes of all time.
Yep. Well done.
But why
great
not?
Movie. Oh, it's a good movie.
I got to go back and watch. It's been a long time. NHL 94 on Sega. Who can't relate to that?
Make
your head bleed.
Yep.
But teams probably have like back-to-back-to-back messages. Hey, you there? Anybody?
Yeah, pick up. Here's our offer. Come on. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. All right. Love all the NFL news. I can't wait to talk to Joe Corey coming up too. Former agent.
He'll be great.
Yeah. More on what is he hearing on Watson. He's going to have to air the dirty laundry too. I got to see it. And that would really hurt the Texans. Here's why I want out. They did this, and this.
Yep.
Maybe he has some dirt as well. Sean Harnish has incredible nuggets. I mean, some of this stuff today. Rutgers against Nebraska. Nebraska playing their 12th game in 22 days. The defense has become non-existent. Every game's turning into a track meet. Purdue played their second fastest game of the year versus Nebraska last Saturday. Then Penn State played their fastest game of the year versus Nebraska on Tuesday, followed by Illinois doing it on Thursday. Then on Saturday, Minnesota played their second fastest game in conference. Their fastest was the other game against Nebraska, February 8th. Rutgers went in a game with more than 71 possessions, 7-0. In the last 10 days, teams are averaging a top-5 offensive game of their season against Nebraska. Rutgers has held their opponents under 1 point per possession in the last 9 games. Makes the case for Rutgers, and the over there.
12 games in 22 days.
He makes it 82-68 with his numbers. But yeah. That's good information in terms of the number on Nebraska.
I'll give you this.
What they're doing defensively, yes.
Okay.
Or not doing.
Good breakdown here on Stephen F. Austin versus Central Arkansas. Austin is the 7th best team in the country at making you turn the ball over 24% of the time. Central Arkansas ranks dead last in the country in offensive turnovers. They turn it over 24% of the time. If you add the fact that Austin is the fourth best offensive rebounding team in the country, a whopping percentage, they grab like 38% of their missed shots. They should end up with around 24 more shots than Central Arkansas. Central Arkansas is one of the worst at creating turnovers on defense. So he's not sure how they get any of those 24 extra shots back. He thinks laying the points, it's now up to like 11, is a good idea. The first game was 95-69.
Yeah, blowout, yeah. That's what's going to be so intriguing about championship week. Where, you know, what happened? What do you do with the first couple meetings? And where are they playing? And no fans or lack thereof fans? And how that's all that's going to work? And where were the games? Like, I'm gonna, so here we go. Atlantic Sun. Championship game is Sunday. Bid goes out. Tickets are punched for the Atlantic Sun, Big South, and the Missouri Valley on Sunday. And that game's always on CBS, and that's a great tournament. OVC is the first bid Saturday. First ticket is punched. And Belmont was 24-1 and then stubbed their 12 back-to-back games this past weekend. But I kind of lean UNC Asheville tonight in the quarters of the Big South. They're the only team to beat Winthrop. Winthrop went 20-1 this year. The one loss was by 2 points. But they played both games at Longwood. They split, and now they're playing Longwood tonight, and they're laying 3. Asheville also has been on pause, where you had some COVID issues in that conference too. So everyone's had some time off. So I lean Asheville, but what do you do with some of these? And then that's also interesting. You look where Austin already played Arkansas, Central Arkansas, and they killed them. And now they're laying 10 or 12, depending on where you shop with the number tonight. And it's a lot of day games today too, which is beautiful.
Yeah, 10.5 right now, DraftKings, the way it looks. Other like long-term numbers for teams in either conference tournaments or for the NCAA tournament overall. Villanova, since that, Final Four run in 2009, didn't you have them at a huge number?
Yes.
That year, but you couldn't do anything with it because Carolina was like a 10-point favorite in the Final Four?
Yep.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
Since that year.
A team from the Big East made the Final Four, and I think Pitt was a one seed that year. Beat them. Beat Duke.
Yep.
Blew out UCLA. I could barely maneuver.
That North Carolina team was one of the highest power-rated teams in recent history. But since that year, they've either won the national title or they've been out by round two. Out by round two as a one or a two seed 4 different times, 8 in total, 73% of appearances since that time. And that has been, I mean, since, you know, well, I guess before Jay Wright actually won the title with that team in, what was it, 2016 against North Carolina, 2016, 2017. And then he won it, you know, 2 years after that to win 2 out of the, you know, last 3. Before that, it was always like a team that, somehow that was under the radar how they would always disappoint in March. Always like a 1 or a 2 seed, but always with an early exit. And then he totally corrected that and turned it into, you know, just a team that was... Their 2 tournament runs, the years that they won it, are 2 of the most impressive runs I've ever seen. Again, that 2019 Villanova team had one of the best March runs ever. I mean, they blew out almost everybody. In the Final Four title game before that, they killed all their opponents. Michigan State... And Izzo, they've lost in the second round, in the first 2 rounds of the tournament, 14 times since 2001, 73% of the years as well, including 4 out of the 5 times they were a 1 or a 2 seed. That year that they were a 2 seed, not that long ago, I'm over at the Westgate on the first day of the tournament. They were a 2 seed, but they were the favorites to win the whole thing. People always love the little guy in March Madness, right? They root for upsets to go crazy. It's one of the best. That's why this thing has become so popular. That day, that was the exact opposite. Michigan State was getting routed as a 2 seed, and the place was dead silent. People probably, the brackets that they filled out were completely dead. They were a popular team to win the whole thing that year. That was strange. Ohio State out in the first round or second round 4 straight times. Mm. Bad loss, yes. They're not in a good run right now.
Oh.
Good opposition. Or good opponents, I should say, recently. But no excuse for a team that was, you know, going to be a 1 seed. I'm not so sure about that anymore. Creighton, in the last 10 tournament appearances, never made it out of the second round. I have them on a ticket at 80-1. Looks like, according to the bracket matrix and, you know, Lenardi, they're going to be around a 4 seed. Yeah. I don't have a lot of confidence in that team making a deep run. When they're completely healthy, I like them. But West Virginia with Bob Huggins made it past the second round only twice. And Gonzaga out in round 1 or 2, 12 out of 16 times. That one's hard to believe.
Wow, that is surprising.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Florida State since 2003, out by round two 58% of the time. And they had that. That was a strange game. I had them against North Carolina. They're up by 12 at the half, and it totally flipped after halftime. North Carolina blew their doors off. I couldn't believe what I was watching in that game. They had no answer for North Carolina in the second half, and North Carolina out by round two, six out of the last 16 years. So it's kind of hit or miss with that team as well. But Duke, I'm not so sure anymore. Lenardi has them as a next four out. I wonder where they would have been with a win against Louisville. They would have been teetering right there on the fence. And now I think that, at this point anyway, winning the ACC tournament might be their only option. And they're back. That's updated? Wow, back to 20-1. I think they were 8-1 before the game against Louisville. And now 20-1. There's another team, Virginia. Not a lot of meat on the bone. They have three straight losses. And I think their best wins here, I'll come up with this here in a second. The best wins for Virginia on the year. Okay, so they swept Notre Dame. They beat Clemson by 35. I think that's still when Clemson was playing some pretty good basketball. They swept Georgia Tech and they beat North Carolina. Decent wins, but nothing you're going to, write home about. Miami, they play Miami tonight. Virginia's laying 15 in that neighborhood. Miami's lost 9 out of 10. The win in the last 10 was against Duke when they were huge dogs. And Lenardi has them a 4 seed. Virginia playing Belmont in the first round. I see some people, they have Virginia all the way down at a 7. We do have some pretty good games on the schedule tonight, though.
Yes.
North Carolina's at Syracuse. Right now, North Carolina, a 10 seed, according to Lenardi. They'd play Colorado in the first round. The first time they played, North Carolina won 81-75. This game opened up a pick. Total of 147.5. Good win again by North Carolina over the weekend. I would lean North Carolina in this game. I would actually lean Syracuse first half. Now North Carolina's lane two. I would lean Syracuse first half, North Carolina for the game. This has been North Carolina's problem all year long. They get off to these very slow starts. Go back and look at their first half numbers this year. They are either trailing or down big, not leading by nearly as many points as they should be, depending on the point spread, in a lot of first halves this year. And then we get the Oklahoma State game again tonight. This opened up a pick in 141.5. As of right now, I don't think it's adjusted since Saturday, but Lenardi has Oklahoma a 3 seed, Oklahoma State an 8, Cunningham had 40. Boy, is that guy good.
Oklahoma a 3 seed.
A 3 seed. I don't know about that. Oh. That seems very aggressive. And then we get Arizona and Oregon tonight in the Pac-12. They played not too long ago. It was a 2-point game. I watched most of it. It was back and forth the entire way. Oregon won 63-61. They're laying 5 tonight against Arizona. Total is 142. And right now, Lenardi has Oregon as a 9 seed. I think UCLA in the Pac-12, he has an 8. And USC, he has a 5 seed right now. Those are the games coming up tonight. I would, again, Syracuse first half, maybe North Carolina for the game. Oklahoma State was awesome. No opinion on that game. Just maybe in-play situation, or certainly, watch it, take it in. And Arizona plus 5, it's a big number. Might look at Arizona plus the 5 in that game.
Really going to be intriguing Selection Sunday, what they do with the little guy from an at-large standpoint with the bids.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do because he didn't have those tournaments and much of the non-conference schedule. They couldn't bolster the resume with some of the quad one wins and what would happen with all these crazy tournaments that they do all over the country. So, and then plus Drake got beat. Belmont got swept. I guess you can call the Mountain West a mid-major league, mid-major conference.
Uh-huh.
They'll probably get a couple in. Boise got swept by San Diego State. Colorado State might be in. West Coast, I think they'll get a couple. BYU should be in.
I noticed BYU there, that old stat about being top 20 KenPom offensive, efficiency and defensive efficiency to win a national title. I think BYU is actually close to being top 20 in both all of a sudden. And there are only 5 teams right now in the top 20 of each. Baylor, Gonzaga, Illinois in there.
And they're close?
BYU is a team that was close last night when I was looking at it.
There's also Atlantic 10 games today. Their tournament starts Wednesday. in 2 days. They had to flip everything with the gal, with the women. So what?
Boy, that's strange.
I got to see how they're going to do that with this setup.
And this is a good tweet from at Gin Mill Phil. Matt Humans, I know, has been talking about Phil here on the network. He's very good at his picks on Twitter, college basketball. But Phil tweeted this out, COVID havoc on the NEC tourney pitcher. First place Bryant of the NEC on the brink of entering the tournament announces it must go into a COVID pause. Their final two games versus Mount St. Mary's canceled. Now, does this bring eliminated LIU back to life? What a mess. That's unfortunate.
Well, it would be. Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, right.
This is going to be uncharted territory. Just like what would happen if they'd have to move some things around and possibly. That's another thing to talk about. Set a number here on championship week on forfeits.
Yep.
Oh, God. Forfeits are in play now with tournaments.
Well, to your point about how many conference tournaments actually are going to get played, you know, overall, you brought that up like a month or so ago. It looks like they're going to all try to march ahead and try to complete them all. But, I mean, it's a wild year. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State play again tonight, like we talked about. They just played Saturday. Up next, we'll get into tonight's NHL card with updated numbers here on Follow the Money.
Promotion, sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Sign up using promo code VSIN2K to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and faster rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now to experience this great book for yourself. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Atlantic 10 starts Wednesday. First round, second round. Quarterfinals Friday. Semifinals Saturday. Championship game 8 days later. Okay. Unbelievable how they're putting that together.
Wow.
Yeah, the hockey. Two teams headed in opposite directions here. Winnipeg playing well. They've won 4 in a row. And Vancouver, the house is on fire. They've lost 11 of 13, and they've lost 12 of 13 to the Jets. Why are the Jets so cheap? $1.20, right? Vancouver having all kinds of issues. And a total of 6.5. That line stinks. Something wrong with it. Why's Toronto so cheap? Can they take out Edmonton again? Check the goalie situation with Toronto. Campbell had the shutout. Before that, it's been Hutchinson. But a nice win the other night. Is that someone finally solved Mike Smith, and they got the win. Excuse me. How about the game out here? Nurse. Oh, man.
You okay?
How do you handicap this one tonight?
Well, don't the look Knights. Now.
Go ahead.
You see what the standings in this division?
Yeah, they're on fire. The Wild have won 6 in a row.
They're 1 point back of the Golden Knights right now. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they've played 18 games. Colorado, they've played 18 games. Points, Colorado 23, Minnesota 24. So, looking at the numbers overall, the Wild, the power play numbers in the Wild have not gotten any better. They are 5-63 on the season on the power play.
Oh! Detroit?
30th.
Oh!
Still a team worse than them. And VGK's penalty kill, they're fourth. They've allowed 6 goals on 48 opportunities. So the special teams advantage, huge for the Golden Knights based on play throughout the year so far. But expected goals for Minnesota, 9th overall. Goals against, 3rd overall.
What do you want to do? 7 straight unders for the Knights. And we'll see if this goal in the first 10, how this looks tonight. It's the first time now we got fans in the building.
Mm-hmm.
About 2,600 fans at T-Mobile. Minnesota won 6 in a row. Anaheim's lost 6 in a row. Columbus has lost 5 in a row. And the other thing, too, the Wild have always played the Knights tough.
Yes, they have.
They've 6-2 run here.
They're down to 4-1 to win that division. I'm looking right now at some odds. Golden Knights plus 135, Avalanche plus 175, Wild 4-1. Ahead of the Blues. Blues are 9-1.
Why are Edmonton and Toronto playing a 7 o'clock Pacific game? on a Monday night. What's that all about? That doesn't make any sense. I want to see how San Jose responds, too, after what happened.
Wow, good observation. I did not realize that.
That's stupid. Four late games, and then the Colorado and San Jose. Colorado, $1.90 on the road after that 7-6 debacle on Saturday that San Jose was involved in. Carolina and the Panthers, a good game. They
good
go
game.
Back
Very
at it
good.
Again. Another six after that debacle Saturday. Carolina, $1.20. Florida yet to lose back-to-back games this year. They've lost 6-8 against Carolina and a 4-1 underrun overall. And Calgary and Ottawa. Ottawa's played three straight overs. How about these two games? They're going at it for the third time here. Calgary was run out 6-1 and then bounced back and beat Ottawa 6-3. And that's one of the early games. Calgary $1.60 here at Circa. Total of six.
Look at Ottawa's advanced numbers. Expected goals for, they're 14th. Okay, middle of the pack. Expected goals against, they're 29th. Power play, they're 25th. Penalty kill, they're 24th. But warming up a little bit. 15 points overall. They played 23 games in last place in that North Division.
Yeah, first period over, right? 17-6 to the over on the season for Ottawa.
Let me check the juice on that.
Second period, yeah. Yeah, I'd see. I mean, the last two games have been high scoring. I think this one will be as well. Or maybe just the game over 6-2.
I'm seeing 1.5 minus 145 in that neighborhood. Do we have any twos tonight? We have a two in the first between the Canucks and the Jets. Over is plus 120. I would imagine they're going to put a two on Toronto and Edmonton. They did. Over two in the first is plus 115. Every other game has a goal and a half on it. The Avs-Sharks game over a goal and a half is minus 155. And the Wild-Golden Knights under 1.5 is minus 108. I can see that being a low-scoring first period. 1-0 or scoreless between those two teams. All right. There's the schedule.
I want to see what the...
You like the Jets the most, or you like Toronto?
Man, that stinks. Yeah, I'd lean Jets, but I like Toronto. I think Toronto bounces, gets them again after what they did the last game. And the other thing, too, I mean, this is... He's an old man. He's playing incredible hockey. But Fleury's got to get some days off here.
Going to have to.
He's playing every night. They got 17 games in March.
Yep. Up next, we have that's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. On that note, what an accomplishment. All things considered, truly... Truly an amazing feat. Sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook now. Get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Simply download the app, sign up using the promo code VSIN, and get started with the only top-rated sportsbook that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. We brought it back, baby, for March, and who knows, maybe beyond this as well. The good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend. I'll start with the good. You referenced this. Well, you said Marc-Andre Fleury. Is he going to get a night off? This is, all things considered, Paulie, really astonishing. This is from NHLPR. Among goaltenders to be a franchise's first to 100 wins, Marc-Andre Fleury required the second fewest games to reach the milestone. He only trails Tiny Thompson, who did it in 158 games with Boston.
Oh.
To come over to the Golden Knights, an expansion team,
oh,
the Misfits, as they called them,
yep,
and to do this in this short amount of time, and the guy, all you can do is tip your cap right now.
And we'll never see anything like that again. Number one, an expansion team made it to the finals, but number two, they lost like four goalies that year.
That's right.
They four goalies got hurt. And they were still winning games and won the division, which was some people had 200-1. And that cashed.
It's one of, we said at the time, one of the most improbable sports stories of our lifetime. Betting or non-betting. In the NBA, the good. The Heat, really nice win over the Jazz on Friday night. And the Knicks, we talked about this earlier in the show. They covered another first half, actually multiple first halves. over the weekend, including the one on Saturday. Down 17, Rose stole the ball, came a deep three to take a 54-52 lead into halftime. Here comes the Greek Freak. Bucks now hot. They've won five straight. Last 10 games for the two-time MVP. 33.5 points per game, 13.5 rebounds, 6.6 assists on 55% shooting from the floor. And by the way, he's gotten better shooting his free throws. Remember, this was a bugaboo of his in the first month or so. 75% last 10 games. It is March today. Good tweet, Jeff Borzello. Top nine teams in the current AP poll, 9-8. This was before the Ohio State loss to Iowa. Both teams were in the top nine after the Villanova loss yesterday. And Cade Cunningham, tremendous, 40 against Oklahoma, and the Cowboys' overtime win against the Sooners on Saturday. They play again tonight. The bad, Villanova's loss to Butler, 2 of 27 from downtown. Worst shooting performance ever under Jay Wright as a head coach. And Philly's loss to Cleveland in the NBA on Saturday night in overtime. Embiid, 42, Simmons, 24, only one other player had 11, and nobody else scored in double figures. Where's the help? Can't lose to Cleveland. The ugly. And as I said earlier today, I like the kid a lot. But it's almost inevitable at this point where the meltdown is coming by Victor Hovland. And I can't possibly do it justice by telling you, if you missed it, what happened to him on the final hole on Friday. You have to see the video for yourself. How he just was all over the map, all over the green, and he just kept overshooting it. And he shot a quadruple bogey on Friday to close up shop. If he doesn't do that, maybe he's in a playoff with Morikawa. Maybe he wins it outright. And that happens almost every single tournament for this kid. And I like him a lot, but just you got to avoid that. There you go.
It's good to talk. We can talk football here in March in the last couple of weeks with the trade demands. And Peter King's column today about 50-50. We could get a Monday night playoff game, a wild card game. 17-game schedule likely. Super Bowl latest it's ever been. Could be February 13th in Los Angeles. And also Mac Jones could go before Trey Lance and the FCS. How about Saturday? Dogs go 16-4 and six double-digit dogs won outright. That was fun. Great week. Some bad UFC. Eight of the nine fights went the distance.
Yeah.
You had one knockout. Now it happens. I mean, it was just one of those crazy cards where that's bizarre where that happened. And also bubble teams, rough week for bubble teams, Belmont, Drake, what happened to Indiana. So we'll see if that continues this week with the madness upon us. And one, I didn't know where to put this, but I wanted to mention it. We lost Irv Cross, and I thought Brett Musburger had a great tweet.
Yep.
And Brett knew him well and worked with him. Irv was one of the finest gentlemen I've ever been with. We met at Northwestern where Irv played both ways. We later became my go-to mainstay on the NFL Today. No one ever had a bad thing to say about Irv. He led the way for African Americans to host NFL and other sports shows. Rest in peace, my friend. Oh, he's absolutely right about that, how he led the way. And the other thing, it was the greatest pregame show ever. And how there's just some things you can't teach, and one of them is chemistry. And I know Brent had his problems with Jimmy the Greek, probably the other way around, with that great special they ran on ESPN. And there's a great video there. But you still have all this money that they spend and all the big networks and just how discombobulated, and it's just a bleep show with all these pregame shows, and they could never learn and just go to the... I mean, that thing was so good. It was just fantastic.
You know,
are looking, and it was a whole different time, but you are looking live and then right out to the stadium and the scene and updates, and God forbid they even mention a weather update.
They were so far ahead of their time.
Oh, so, and embraced gambling.
And a lot of that was because of Brent and Jimmy and talking about gambling all the way back then. I can remember coming home from like Sunday school, falling asleep, like, Mom, get me out of here, please. I want to get home and watch the NFL. Get home, turn it on. I need to see the pregame show. It's the only NFL pregame show on, you know, mainstream network TV that's ever mattered in the NFL. Only one ever that's ever had a great say in this sport. Every other pregame show in history has been irrelevant, in my opinion, on mainstream network television, because they somehow still don't get it in 2021. And Brent and company there, Irv and Jimmy the Greek, obviously, they got it all the way back in the early to mid 80s. That is incredible. And yeah, he will be missed. And that, you're right, Paul, what you said. The chemistry on that show, that is something that you can't, it's priceless. And it was so good between those guys. And Phyllis George as well.
Yep. Yep. Can't forget about her too. Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I'm with you on this though. It's a 12-month sport basically. It does not go September to February. Hell, we're talking about it every single day here. Every show on this network is, for the most part, right? I mean, you ran down what Peter King had to say in his column today. The possibility of a Monday night playoff game would be really cool. Maybe playing the Super Bowl as late as February 13th. 17 games, but only one bye. Don't like that idea. Sneak in another bye there if you can. Play the Super Bowl on February 20th if you have to. But then the topsy-turviness of it as well. Watson and Wilson. So huge stories.
Yeah, I don't want to forget, because we're on in New England, too, in Boston, Nesson. I don't want to forget about Will McDonough, who was the first ever NFL
That's
insider.
Right. Yeah.
He was a tough Irishman.
He was great.
As Brent said, what he did for everybody.
Yep.
McDonough was great. Schefter, all these guys don't exist without Will McDonough.
Yep, NFL offseason and draft with Joel Corey, former agent, coming up next.
Racing fan, First Bet's the place for you. Wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, easiest way to bet on your favorite sports, secure payments, great customer service, reliable website, all brought to you by Express Bet. The promo code is Vegas150. Get a $150 match bonus after you bet 150 within the first 30 days. First.com/bet/Vegas for details. Promo code Vegas150. Joel Corey joins us now to talk NFL. Inside the Cap, his podcast, also does a great job with CBS Sports, former agent. Good to talk. He's the guy to talk to right now with the NFL. Great article that you had on Dak and the Cowboys. Can you tell our viewers what concessions would have to be made if this can get done in the next week or so with the two sides?
Well, first, I don't think the deal is going to get done before the March 9 franchise tag designation deadline. But in order to get a deal done before you have to place a tag on Dak, basically Dallas is going to have to concede every major deal point. And the reason I say that is the leverage now shifts into Dak's favor. Although he was injured last year, you saw that the Dallas offense couldn't move the ball through the air without him. And you got a $37.7 million franchise tag, a second one staring Dallas in the face with the cap going down. So they really can't afford to have that number on their cap. Plus, if he plays out a second year in a franchise tag, he's basically hitting free agency next year, because a third tag would be slightly less than $54.3
million. Oh, and the big holdup is between, how can this go on so long with it? Do you want a four-year deal or a five-year deal?
Well, it never should have gotten to this point, because first, Dak should have been the priority over DeMarcus Lawrence a couple of years ago when he was on his second franchise tag. Had you done that deal before Russell Wilson moved the market to $35 million per year, then maybe you have Dak in the high 20s, low 30s, but that ship has sailed, and now it comes down to length of contract. If Dak wanted a four-year deal last year, if I'm his agent, Todd France, I'm telling the Cowboys, you wasted 1 year on a franchise tag. I want to be under contract through 2023, so now we're talking 3 years.
Okay, wow. Joel, as a former agent, are you surprised that we've gotten to this point with Wilson and Watson, meaning they're trying to have this much power and it's, you know, maybe going in the direction of the NBA? Or as a former agent, did you always want to see this happen for the players?
Oh, I'm very interested and entertained by what's happening. I'm a little surprised, particularly actually in both cases, because I never thought that the Texans would seemingly have an allegiance to Jack. He used to be a former chaplain, nothing against the religion in that profession. My dad, I'm a preacher's kid. But I would take the quarterback over an inexperienced executive. And I think Russell Wilson has Tom Brady envy, just like Aaron Rodgers. And I think that may be driving his complaints more than anything else. And for a guy who had mastered the art of saying nothing, when he speaks, it seems to carry more weight. So it was a little clumsy in how he put it out, but I call that a non-trade demand,
okay,
or an invitation for teams to make, those four teams that he listed, or his agent listed, to his permission for them to make an offer to Seattle that can't be refused.
What are you hearing about the Texans and Watson? Was it just, okay, they're not listening to me anymore? Here's my idea for a GM. Here's my idea for a head coach. You didn't talk to Bieniemy. And also, how toxic is this Easterbeek character?
Well, it all started when they got rid of his best receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, in one of the worst trades in recent memory in NFL history. And it's only compounded himself. And instead of basically, maybe in his mind, saying shut up and dribble by ignoring his request or his input after you solicit it, so now you've lied to the guy in his mind, that's where the real breakdown occurred. And when he was talking about culture change at the end of the regular season, being a little cryptic, he meant Jack Easterbay was the big problem. So it's basically they're choosing him over the quarterback, plus they go out and get his hand-picked GM from New England where he came from, Nick Casario. That only rubs salt in the wound.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think there are probably, three options for Watson at this point. Either he's going to be back with the Texans, he's going to get traded, those are the two obvious ones, or he just says, nope, I'm not coming back, and they say, nope, well, we're not going to trade you, and he holds out next year. At this point, on March 1st, what do you see happening with Watson next year?
Well, both teams seem to be firmly entrenched in their position. So at this point, I'm thinking this thing gets past the draft. He's not traded. And it's very easy, from my experience as an agent, for a player to talk tough in March and April, but come training camp time, when you have to start getting fined what is now $50,000 per day, mm-hmm, and in his case, the fines can't be forgiven. And then potentially, if your holdout lasts long enough, they're able to recoup part of the prorated portion of your signing bonus, maximum of 5.4 this year. And then you start missing game checks if this continues, or if it goes to its logical extreme, you miss the whole season and your contract tolls. It's easy to talk tough now before you're actually losing a dollar. So I think if he's not traded by the draft, this thing is going to get very, very ugly. And one thing I wouldn't discount is the fact that you've got a new GM, and when there's a regime change, the new GM does not, or owner or head coach or whomever the person is, does not want to send a signal to the rest of the team,
yeah,
and that you can stick a gun to his head and get what you want. Teams have an irrational fear or irrational need to hold on or preserve precedent, even though you can make distinctions in every different case, but teams typically like to have a blanket rule. So that's something I would not discount as being a motivation for Nick Casario.
That's well said. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Joel Corey, our guest, former NFL agent. He writes for CBS Sports, and his podcast is called Inside the Cap. So is there a deal that makes sense out there for Watson or for Wilson, in your opinion, that maybe a rumor, maybe something that you've done crunching numbers, that you could say, okay, this team makes sense, and giving up this much would actually be a good idea?
Well, first I'll start with Wilson. In Wilson's case, cap-wise, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because he's got a $32 million cap charge this year. If you trade him before June 1, that balloons to 39. And so you're up 7. You add 7 to the cap because he got a $65 million signing bonus when he signed his extension in 2019. There's proration of $13 million left 2021 through 2023. That being said, I never thought the Eagles would be willing to swallow $33.8 million as a cap charge for Carson Wentz. So maybe, what do I know? If a trade's going to occur after June 1st, there's one team that makes sense the most from a salary matching standpoint, because you delay the proration from 2022 and 2023 hitting till next year. So you would actually pick up $19 million of cap room in 2021, have a cap charge of 2022 of $26 million. And I'm not saying it's a one-on-one trade. I'm just saying a trade centered around these two guys. Derek Carr's making $19.625 million this year, so it would match up from not hurting the salary cap for the Seahawks, and I know I've just traded the Raiders quarterback when I say that. I don't think anything happens personally this year between Russell Wilson and Seattle. I think he's the quarterback come opening day there, but that's one that makes sense. Now, Watson, that's a different story. You only need $10.54 million to absorb his 2021 salary, and he's under contract for five total years for an average of a little over $29 million per year, and the numbers start ballooning. If I decide to trade Deshaun Watson, it's going to have to be the biggest haul outside of Herschel Walker. It's at least four first-round picks, and if you have a good young player that's in return, so say San Francisco, part of the compensation coming back in return is going to be Nick Bosa.
So you would need Bosa and four first-round picks?
At least three, because Bosa, if you traded him in and out of itself, would probably go for two first.
You think a team like the Niners are willing to do something like that?
That remains to be seen, but if I'm going to give up my 25-year-old quarterback and the idea is to find a guy like that, not trade him for the chance you might be able to find a guy almost as good as he is, then I'm going to need a great asset if it's not picks, and I'm trying not to put Deshaun Watson in the best situation possible. So if it's the Jets, I want at least three first-round picks, another early pick. I don't want Sam Darnold because we don't know whether he can play because it's hard to give an evaluation given the talent around him, and he hasn't thrived anyway. Quinnen Williams comes back in that one.
Mm. Okay. As a longtime agent, what did you tell teams and organizations about a client maybe from a smaller conference or school that didn't play, like especially if it's a quarterback like this Lance and Wilson, if people are questioning the competition?
Well, that's where the Senior Bowl usually comes into play if you're eligible to play, that you send your client to the Senior Bowl and he gets a chance to showcase himself against better talent. Prior to the regression this year, I would have pointed to a Carson Wentz as an example of what my guy could be. And Lance coincidentally comes from the same school. But I'd point to a Steve McNair, who had a very successful career from what isn't a BCS conference as well. So I would look at the traits, not the school, because there's a lot to learn once you get to the NFL. And you can have guys come from football powerhouses who don't do well at a quarterback position just as easily as someone who comes from a smaller school.
Joel, we have like 30 seconds here. There's a prop bet up on quarterbacks taken in the first round this year. It's 4.5, heavy juice to the over. But where are you at with that position this year? Do you think we're going to get five to go in the first round?
Possibly. You usually have quarterbacks overdrafted, so there may be one who sneaks at the bottom of the first round just because you get the fifth year with the fifth-year options opposed to the straight four-year deal.
Love your perspective, man. Yes. You can read him at CBS Sports and also check out the podcast called Inside the Cap. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Corey Joel. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep, you got it. That would be... Oh, man.
My God.
Bosa and at least three. He thinks four for Watson. What do you think now? Are you more confident that Watson's going to be back after listening to him?
No, Watson will never play there again.
Never play there again. Never take another snap.
No. Although I think they ran the numbers. I think it gets up to $20 million with the fines and what he would lose out on. If this game of chicken continues to.
Yeah.
And how long this goes.
Wow. Yeah. Up next, good feedback as always from the audience. We were asked, what's the dumbest event we've ever bet on? I think we have some pretty good answers. Who knows? We'll run that down for you coming up next.